Other one.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Friday. We're so glad that you could join us tonight. We have a great message for you on releasing the power of faith. Before we begin, if you have opened this message from an archive source, please be aware we're on a live teleconference call. That means that people will be dialing in from all over the place. We're going to give them a few minutes to get here before we begin our message. And anytime, digital listeners, anytime you would like to join us live, these calls are held each Monday and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can find out more about Freedom's Way Ministries at our website of the same name, Freedoms with an S, Way Ministries, ministries is plural.com. Thank you for joining us, and if you'd like to say hello, now is a good time to do that. And if you don't want to say hello, we're glad to have you here anyway. Praise the Lord forever. Been a very busy week. Busy and productive. Hallelujah. And such a beautiful day. We were thinking, I was thinking this morning again about the sky and how amazing our God is. And you will never see the exact same sky. Changes continually. No two skies are ever alike. It's amazing the creativity of God. Hallelujah. Do not know why your phones are muted, but thank you for letting me know that.
And then,
Hi. Okay. Praise the Lord.
A long day?
Yes.
Now we have Joan.
A lot of running around.
No.
Hi, Vicki. Who is that? That was me, Joan. Hi, Vicki. I said hi.
Hi, Vicki.
I'd like to say hello.
Love you.
Thank you. I just didn't want you to say
I think I hear Mitch in the background talking to somebody else. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, brother and sister. I made it back in, too.
Praise the Lord.
I think
that was Antoinette. And who else did I hear?
That's Phil and Vicki.
Charles?
It is indeed.
Praise the Lord. Who else? Anybody want to say hello before we start? It's a good day. Who said hello?
Do you praise the Lord?
Yes, it is. It's about time we started another gratitude challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that. I'll pray about that. Anybody else before I mute your phones for real? And we get started. Welcome.
How about that? We have dog one on.
Dog one and cat one.
That was a cat?
No.
Sound like a dog barking.
It was a dog. We have a cat. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to mute your phones now, and we're going to get started. So glad you're here.
Dogs and cats everywhere. Holy. No. Welcome, welcome. We're Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. Our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority. And anything we can do in that area to help you, we are willing. And we do feel these teachings are instrumental in helping us to grow in our understanding, which gives us growing in power. There is power in understanding. There's power in agreement. So keep tuning in, if you will. We love to have you. I'm going to pray us in and get started here. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your anointing is on your word, God, and it goes forth and accomplishes what it was sent, or the purposes for which it was sent. And we thank you, Lord, that it is on this word, and that your people will receive a great blessing and grow exponentially in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would attempt to distort, blunt, or distract God's people in any way from receiving the full, pure message of the Word. And again, we say, Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight. And praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are producing another book. Can't tell you exactly when it's going to come out yet, but it is being written, and with your comments and taken into consideration. So that is why we are presenting it to you, so that you can help us along the way. The book is titled Higher Faith, Greater Power, Deeper Peace. This is chapter 14. Releasing the power of faith. Oh, hallelujah. We've already stated that the kingdom of God grows by the seed of faith, and that God's authority is in and by faith. As we rid ourselves of a lack of understanding, we can move forward more effectively in the realms of higher faith. A little aside here. The lack of understanding in six areas was explored last week in the last chapter. Okay. God gives us the keys to his kingdom. One of those keys releases the power of his faith from within us. How do we turn our faith loose? How can we demonstrate the power of God's faith within us? Primarily, the power of faith is released through our confessions as we speak the Word of God. We must have God's Word firmly established in our hearts so that it can flow from our hearts and out of our mouths. Every chapter of this book has touched on this, and now we're going deeper into the power of confession. It is what we say out loud that activates the spirit realm. Depending on our words, pardon me, we can activate angels or we can activate demons. Mark 11:22-23. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be you removed and be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Have faith in God literally translates have God's faith. And we established several chapters ago that we do, in fact, have God's faith within us because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in a believer is the same Holy Spirit who hovered over the earth to perform God's word. It is the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. That is our ultimate faith, and we have access to it every day. This passage in Mark cannot be clearer. It is what we say in faith, which removes obstacles from our lives and overcomes challenging situations. The very best example of this truth is our salvation experience.
Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This verse is referred to as the Roman road to being born again. It is that, of course, but it is also much more than that. This word salvation is a derivative of the Greek word sozo, and as such, it encompasses the full salvation package. It has five different aspects. These are preservation, which is becoming born again into a new life in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Healing, which is becoming whole in mind and body. Soundness, which is becoming balanced emotionally and living in peace and not chaos or confusion. Prosperity, which is being satisfied and having good success in what we do. And deliverance, which is becoming separated from demonic influences and the lies of hell.
Amen.
Every piece of this salvation package can be appropriated by our confessions of faith. We're going to look into four kinds of confessions found in the New Testament. Understanding these confessions will help us release the power of God's faith from within us. The first confession we see is the confession of sin. This is the confession taught by John the Baptist and Jesus to the Jews. This is not the same baptism or repentance that we experience as Christians. Let's explore this a little bit through the Word and get a better understanding of the Jewish baptism. 1 Corinthians 10:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Hallelujah. From the beginning, the nation of Israel had a close relationship with the Father God. Think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham was considered a friend of God. Isaac was named by God as the child of promise through which salvation would come to the nation. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Second Chronicles 20, verse 7. Are not you our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham your friend forever? James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Genesis 17:19 and verse 21. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. Hebrews 11:17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Acts 7, verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Hallelujah.
Then along history's path, the nation began to serve other gods. Their men took strange wives and performed acts of abomination, and so on. They lost their close relationship with God, and he sent them into captivity, just as he had warned Abraham even before the birth of Isaac. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Acts 7, verse 6, and God spoke on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. After about 400 years, God sent a deliverer, Moses, to lead the people out of bondage. After the celebration of Passover, which is a foreshadowing of the perfect sacrificial lamb, Christ Jesus, who took away the sins of the world, God spoke to Moses again. At that time, God established the law, and it was given to the people through Moses, who is now the representation of the law outlined in the book of Leviticus. The law was established so that people would know what was sin and when or what wasn't, and there would be no confusion. Exodus 12, verses 40 to 43. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed to all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall be no stranger eat thereof.
Hallelujah. I think you should have a little scriptural backup for everything written herein. Leviticus 1, verse 1 and 2a. This is the beginning of the law. And the Lord called Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say to them. And then it goes on. So from this point, God gives Moses what is now considered the Levitical law, taking us back to baptized into Moses. Baptism means being fully immersed into something. The Jewish people were fully immersed in the law. They were baptized into Moses. After a while, the law became their God instead of God. They ended up worshiping the law of God rather than the God of the law. This is where the Jewish people were spiritually when John the Baptist came along. John began to baptize them into repentance. Turn back to God and be fully immersed in Him was his message. Turn back to God and be fully immersed in Him. John was the last of the prophets before Jesus. Christ Jesus was all in all. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. John wanted to clean up the people and reestablish them in their relationship with God so that they could receive his son and recognize their Messiah. Hallelujah. And you know, this has just given me something new here that I may want to add, and you can tell me, Phil, if I should. that scripture where the Pharisees came to John, and John actually said to them, why are you even here? Do you remember that one? I have to look it up. But he said, you know, who told you to come do this? Because I think John knew that the Pharisees wouldn't receive that repentance, the baptism of repentance. Turn back to God and be fully immersed in Him. Acts 13, verse 23 and 24. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance, to all the people of Israel. Luke 16:16. Pardon me. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. So we can see that John's baptism of the Jews, their confession of the sin of forsaking God for the sake of the law, was a precursor for the Lord. The people had to turn back to God in order to recognize his son, Jesus. John's confession and baptism unto repentance was the bridge over which the people could once again travel to come out of bondage. Since that time, Jesus said, we all press into the kingdom of God, not the Jewish baptism of repentance from putting do's and don'ts over as a priority over an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, I'm going to say that again because I read it wrong. Jesus said, since that time, we all press into the kingdom of God. Not the Jewish baptism of repentance from putting do's and don'ts as a priority over an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. This simply means that if the mandates and culture of our churches take precedent over the law of love, we are in error and are still worshiping the law of God rather than the God of the law. Just like the Jews.
Okay, so the next confession we see is the confession of the sinner today on this side of the cross. To understand the confession of the sinner, we have to realize that once we are born again, the sinner is not me.
Amen.
Now, we've heard all our lives that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is true. But we've also heard in the church that we are sinners. And that is not true. The sinner is the one who does not believe in the Lord Christ Jesus, the one who has not yet come to the revelation of a personal God, a Savior who died to remove sin from our lives and restore us to righteousness.
Wow.
Once a person is born again, he's no longer a sinner. He is a saint. And this doesn't mean that saints do not commit sin. We are fully capable of and can certainly be drawn into committing a sin. But still, we are saints. The temptation is not the sin because of the blood of Jesus. We now have power to say no to the temptation, recognize the spirit that tempted us, and cast it down and out.
Amen.
James 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Do not. The confession of the sinner is Holy Spirit conviction that compels a sinner to become a saint. There is but one sin for which a sinner repents, and that is having not believed the finished work of Christ Jesus and his ultimate authority over all things. Sinners must come to the confession of the total lordship of Jesus. Not Jesus and. Not Jesus and my church. Not Jesus and the Mother Mary. Not Jesus and the sacraments. Not Jesus and the New Age. Sinners must come to the confession of the total lordship of Jesus alone. John 16, verse 7 to 9. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus is speaking here. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confess the Lord Christ Jesus. Not the man Jesus, not the prophet Jesus, not the really good person Jesus, but the Lord Jesus, the Christ of God. This is the confession that changes a sinner to a saint. We've told people to admit they're sinners. But if you think about it, that doesn't even make sense. Then an unbeliever is a sinner is a self-evident fact. People in sin know they're in sin. The world reproves people of sin. But the Holy Spirit reproves them of unbelief. Most people in the world have already admitted, at least to themselves, that they are sinners. What people need to admit is that they need a Savior. And the only Savior is Christ Jesus. He is Lord. So as saints and not sinners, we no longer need to hold ourselves in the position of sinners. Does that mean we no longer need to repent? God forbid, as Paul would say.
The third confession we see in the New Testament is the confession of sins by the believer. When we saints commit sin through wrong actions or wrong attitudes, whether because of plain ignorance or willful disobedience, we are out of fellowship with the Father. Sin separates us from God. We still have the relationship. He is our Father. We are His children. But we're out of fellowship with Him. We're in time out, so to speak. This is because when we commit a sin, we're going in the opposite direction from the way God is going. And He keeps moving on. He doesn't stop to wait for us to get it out of our systems and decide to go His way and not our own. He will leave us to our own way. He will not interfere with our will. The good news is that when we sin, we know it and can immediately repent to the Lord for our wrong actions and attitudes. At that point, it's over and it is put behind us. When we confess our sin, He forgives us immediately, and we can receive our forgiveness immediately. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to work our way out of it. It's done. Now, Satan will try to take advantage of us and tell us we now have to earn our way back into God's good graces, but that is a lie that will rob us of faith. Remember what we already learned. The foundation of using God's higher faith is no more consciousness of sin. We are not condemned.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to add here, 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
That needs to be added. Another thing about sinning that will rob us of faith is looking for something in our past we can use to condemn ourselves. Somebody out there just said, ouch. Dragging up the past is a faith killer. And Satan is always behind those thoughts. Anytime you remember something for which you have already repented, know this. The Father does not remember what you did. Once you confessed, He restored you to righteousness immediately. And He put the sin into the sea of forgetfulness and erected a sign, no fishing. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs.
Amen. So the fourth type of confession is perhaps the most important in our learning to release the power of God's faith in the earth. This is the confession of our faith in the Word, in Christ, and in God the Father. This is the confession which brings possession. The Bible teaches believing and saying, not believing and thinking, or believing and begging. Our confession in the Word of God straightens out our thinking. God's Word is our plumb line. We must get our thinking in line with God's thinking, with His Word. It isn't the Word of God which condemns us. Most of us have spent a good deal of time confessing our weaknesses, our faiths, our sins, and our failures, rather than confessing God's Word over our lives. Most of us have spent a good deal of time confessing our weaknesses, our faults, our sins, and our failures, rather than confessing God's Word over our lives. We do that when we get kind of caught into a spirit of perfection. We don't need other people to call us names and bring accusations, since we already have spoken much of that over ourselves and into our own lives. Our confessions have been negative and opposing God's Word rather than agreeing with it. It's time to confess the Word of Christ Jesus, to confess the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to confess the love of our Father God. And in order to get our thinking in line with this Word, we have to know the Word. It's not possible to believe beyond our knowledge of the Word. We can't think ourselves into faith, and we can't pray ourselves into faith. Why would we pray for something we already have? Hallelujah. Prayer does not cause faith to work. Faith causes prayer to work. Hallelujah. And faith grows out of the Word. We must have the knowledge of the Word of God if we expect to release God's faith. As any servant, faith obeys its master, and the master of faith is the Word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. So much of that. It's just so good. I want to go back to it. Hallelujah. Faith causes prayer to work. Prayer doesn't cause faith to work. Faith causes prayer to work. And it is not possible to believe beyond our knowledge of the Word. Thank you, Lord. Okay, moving on. Romans 16:25-26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Once again, we can see that the power of God's faith is released by our faith-filled words. Words that are spoken in agreement with God. Words that bring glory to the Father. As we begin to recognize and accept who we are in Christ, We can begin to release God's faith into every situation and circumstance. The blessing of Abraham that has fallen on us is threefold. It is spiritual, physical, and financial. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Thank you. Amen. The promise is spiritual. It is a surety that we are not abandoned or forsaken, that God is with us no matter what, and that we have life eternal and abundant. The promise is physical. It is a surety that God is our healer, that it is His will we be healed, whole and healthy for all our lives. Additionally, the promise is financial. It is a surety that we should enjoy good prosperity, that God is our provider, and that His hand is not closed. His arm is not shortened, and He does not withhold from us the things we need for life and godliness. These are the things we confess, and as we confess these things, we bring God glory. It is a sacrifice of praise to agree with God and speak His word over ourselves and others, no matter what the world says, or when it seems to be from the viewpoint, or what it seems to be from the viewpoint of our natural understanding. I said that correctly. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we confess God's word over ourselves, our situations, our families, our jobs, whatever, we take our position in heavenly places, seated with Christ Jesus in the throne of God. From the seat of authority and peace, we can produce both spiritually and naturally. We advance God's plan and purposes, and we find our plans are also advanced.
Yep.
Amen.
God's plans, ours are naturally advanced, huh?
Amen. The spiritual fruit we produce becomes natural fruit in our own lives, and the Father is glorified in the Son once again. Hallelujah. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. Or so shall you be, my disciple.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Confessing God's word over ourselves, our situations, our families, our jobs, puts us in the position in heavenly places seated with Christ Jesus. I love it. Here is an encouragement to you all to look up the 134 times the words in Christ, in Him, and in whom are mentioned in the New Testament King James Version. Write these scriptures down and begin confessing them before God and men. We should be speaking out what God in Christ has wrought for us in the plan of redemption. How we have God's power of attorney, the use of his name, his presence and his power to restore ourselves and others, as well as the world and everything in it. We should speak what God through his word and the Holy Spirit has wrought in our personal lives. Each one of us has a testimony. A lot of people don't think they have a testimony that glorifies God because they're not yet perfect in their own eyes or in the eyes of the world. But I promise you that you do have a testimony to the glory of God. How you've changed, how you've grown, little steps of healing and wholeness, or giant steps of healing and wholeness, changes in attitudes, restoration of relationships, overcoming fears, overcoming addictions, speaking up with boldness, praying in public, whatever it is. Every single person has something God has done and is doing for us. Confess it. And give God glory.
Amen. We also need to speak what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. How we are holy, unblameable, unreprovable. How we are strong, capable, intelligent, and beautiful.
Amen.
We need to speak what Jesus is doing for us right now at the right hand of the Father. He is identifying us to his angels, releasing them according to our faith-filled confessions, giving them charge to perform what we speak in agreement with his word. Finally, we need to speak and keep on speaking what God can do through us and what his word will accomplish through our lips. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. If you are ready to make a deeper commitment to God's word, his will, and his way, and grow in releasing the power of faith, then pray this prayer. I encourage you to pray out loud because only God can read your mind. Angels are released to minister and perform God's spoken word. They are listening. Demons need to hear you so they can be put on notice to get out of your life.
Amen. Get out of my life, devil.
No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would like to join us, that would be great in praying this prayer. We are gaining higher faith, greater power, and deeper peace with every chapter, with every prayer. So pray with me if you will. Father God, I'm here to declare.
Father God, I'm here to declare.
The desire of my heart is to bring you glory.
The desire of my heart is to bring you glory.
Let the words of my mouth.
Let the words of my mouth.
And the meditation of my heart.
And the meditation of my heart.
Be acceptable to you, Lord.
Be acceptable to you, Lord.
Keep a watch over my tongue, Father.
Keep a watch over my tongue, Father.
So that I speak only those things which edify your children.
So that I speak only those things that edify your children.
And that glorify you.
And that glorify you.
Show me daily.
Show me daily.
A fresh revelation in your word, Lord.
A fresh revelation in your word, Lord.
Give me a deeper hunger for your word.
Give me a deeper hunger for your word.
Make me strong in the knowledge of your word.
Make me strong in the knowledge of your word.
So that my servant faith has something to obey.
That my servant faith has something to obey.
And so that as your word reaches the heavens.
So that as your word reaches the heavens.
Your angels can be released.
Your angels can be released.
And have something to perform.
And have something to perform.
That is in line with your plan and purpose.
Which is in line with your plan and purpose.
Thank you for the understanding that faith produces.
Thank you for the understanding that faith produces.
And that perfect faith produces perfectly.
That perfect faith produces perfectly.
Bring me into that place, Father.
Bring me into that place, Father.
Where your faith in me.
Where your faith in me.
Becomes my faith in the world.
Becomes my faith in the world.
Transforming lives.
Transforming lives.
And bringing peace.
Bringing peace.
Joy and righteousness.
Joy and righteousness.
The foundational elements of your kingdom.
The foundational elements of your kingdom.
Wherever I am.
Wherever I am.
And wherever I go.
And wherever I go.
I declare that you alone are God.
I declare that you alone are God.
I declare the absolute lordship.
I declare the absolute lordship
of Christ Jesus.
Of Christ Jesus.
I confess that I am who you say I am.
I confess that I am who you say I am.
Created in the image of Christ.
Created in the image of Christ.
Seated with him.
Seated with him.
In the seat of authority.
In the seat of authority.
And I overcome just as Jesus overcame.
And I overcome just as Jesus overcame.
I am triumphant.
I am triumphant.
In and through Christ.
In and through Christ.
Over sin.
Over sin.
Sickness.
Sickness.
Poverty and death.
Poverty and death.
And he is triumphant.
And he is triumphant
in and through me.
In and through me.
As I bring forth fruits of faith-filled confessions.
As I bring forth fruits of faith-filled confessions.
Thank you, Father, for your truth.
Thank you, Father, for your truth.
Thank you for continually showing me.
Thank you for continually showing me.
Times and situations.
Times and situations.
In which I can release the power of your higher faith.
I can release the power of your higher faith.
From within me.
From within me.
Thank you for continually teaching me.
Thank you for continually teaching me.
Ways in which that release of power.
Ways in which that release of power.
Can be accomplished.
Can be accomplished.
Help me always to recognize, Lord.
Help me always to recognize, Lord.
It's not about me.
Not about me.
It's about you.
It's about you.
It isn't my plan. It's yours.
It's not my plan. It's yours.
It isn't my glory.
It isn't my glory.
It's yours.
It's yours.
To God be the glory.
God be the glory.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And as you have engaged your hearts in this prayer tonight, I just ask the Father to honor the desire of your heart. That he show you ways to release the power of his faith from within you. In the name of Jesus. To his glory. now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
If you have a comment or a question, I know as I read through this, even though I may have penned the words, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me in so many ways and showing me other things, and it just expanding my love for Him and my understanding of His Word and the power in it, and the grace of God, that power and presence of our God that lives within us. That's grace. Wow. Grace is not just something that we hide under or cover ourselves with. It is an empowering presence of God within us. Hallelujah. If you would like to say something, please use the *6 key if you're on a telephone. If you're on a computer, I think there's an icon there to
unmute.
Thank you for that word. Comments, questions.
Hello. Hey, Miss Vicki, how are you doing?
Good, Kyle.
I just wanted to, I missed the first like 10 minutes because I almost forgot. But if you could just send me the whole thing, very powerful message. And I do have one question.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just waiting on you. Sorry. There's something that Mr. Phil said that really stood out to me. And this is my question. When someone is praying for something, let's just say patience or courage, does God give them courage or patience? Or does He give them the opportunity to be courageous and patient?
He gives them the opportunity. Because it's already in there. You've got Christ, you have it all. If you are praying for patience, God will give you the opportunity to wait and develop that fruit. If you are praying for courage, God will give you the opportunity to be brave, to move in holy boldness of the Spirit.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
God bless you, Kyle.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Wow. Well, yes.
Joan, it was a wonderful blessing, and it was so much truth to meditate and chew on, and it's very freeing, and it's just illuminating, and I wish I could say all the words, but thank you so much for it, and I would love to have it too, if you want to send it to me, because I just, if you get a chance, whenever, it's just a real,
okay.
We don't hear this, we don't hear this much, it's true, everything you said. Thank you. It's freeing.
Praise the Lord.
Love you.
Amen. Thank you. We love you too. And it is true.
Thank you.
It is true that many churches do not go deep. But we do our best to take a deep dive. Hopefully we're wearing our scuba gear. Hallelujah.
I feel that so many churches, it's a lot of perfectionism. If you don't keep, do everything just right or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's, you have to constantly try to do better,
yeah,
better, better.
Right.
It's not right. That would be
no.
Worse.
No, it isn't. It isn't. You know, it really, God is not into religion. He is into relationship. And when we are resting in Him, then our behaviors change from the inside out. Not because we're trying to do good or do better, but because the Holy Spirit is doing the work through us. And that's where the higher faith and the greater power lies, not in sin consciousness and what you do wrong, but it lies in righteousness consciousness and what He has done right. And He's in you.
You mentioned about 134. Where did we get that?
130, yes, 134 times in the King James Version of the Bible are the words, in Christ, in whom, what's the other one? What's the other one?
In Him.
In Him. In Christ, in Him, and in whom.
So we look for verses like that and confess that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Because that is going to tell you who you are when you step into Christ.
That's awesome. Thank
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Because you know, the I have said this many times, the true significance of being Christian is not when I get Jesus. It's when He gets me.
That can change your life if we do that. Wow.
Absolutely cool. Changes your life.
Thank you so much. Love it.
Okay. Who else before we close tonight? Anybody?
Amen. All amen. Right. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother and sister. Thank you. Such a blessing. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for your response, Mitch, and thank you for being with us and being so faithful.
Awesome.
We appreciate
y'all
you.
Yeah, thank y'all for bringing the word to us too, brother sister. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I'm blessed.
I'll mute back out.
So,
I'm blessed. Thank
you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We ask for you to seal it in our hearts, that it stays ripe, alive, and current in our lives with understanding that helps us to grow in spirit and in truth as Jesus did when He grew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your presence, your goodness. Thank you that it empowers us in mighty ways to be just what we could just most desire, and that is to be as you were, or as you are in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And be your legs, your hands, and your feet. So praise the Lord. We give you honor and glory tonight. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel, we close with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and English. God bless you as you receive. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Yivarech lecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha ifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. V'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, who brings peace. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. I just loose that spirit now into your people. Just the peace and the joy of your presence in their lives. Thank you, Lord. We honor you tonight. Give you glory. We thank you for your word again. We ask you that you encamp your angels around your people and give them a God-filled, glorious weekend in you with fruits for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning, 7:15 for the King's Table. Monday night, chapter 15. And I'm working on it now. It is going to be important things you need to know about God's faith and applying it.
Amen. God bless you all.
Good night, Jill.
Good night. God bless you. Love you.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Good night.